This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, a new timeline for the Senate vote on health care due to Senator McCain's emergency surgery.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Jay Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Cover two main stories for you today on the broadcast. We are live, and we're on Facebook and Periscope as well. First, the Senate. If you have not been following the news in the last, 24 hours, this broke Saturday evening. So it's possible for some of you listening right now, I know that you're close news watchers for the most part and pay attention, but that you're just kind of coming to this news that the Senate vote, which was imminent as of Friday, as our broadcast said, and it was planned to be likely this week, has been delayed because Senator McCain had to have an emergency surgery to remove a blood clot this weekend. He was going through a normal medical review, has to have this blood clot removed. And because of that, the vote has been delayed at least by a week. And I say that because Senator's own office, Senator McCain's office, put out this statement. Senator McCain received excellent treatment at the Mayo Clinic Hospital in Phoenix and appreciates the tremendous professionalism and care by its doctors and staff. He is in good spirits and recovering comfortably at home with his family. On the advice of his doctors, Senator McCain will be recovering in Arizona next week. So we know it's at least this week. That was on a weekend statement, so it's at least through this week before Senator McCain's back in D.C. Why is that important? Why is one senator, and obviously you pray for a fast recovery there for him, so important? Well, we know we were down to a razor-thin margin, about 50 votes plus Vice President Pence to get this passed in the U.S. Senate. So you cannot risk going and taking this vote without a guaranteed yes vote there. And Senator McCain, who is recovering. And remember, if the vote's next week, that's before the August recess would even started. So the idea that they would stay past the recess, that would be before that. If it's the week after, still it's before the August recess. So the idea, again, that remember, the U.S. Senate is ready to stay in Washington through the entire next month. And we're only just a little more than halfway through this month after we've also had the July 4th holiday, which took up time as well in the schedule, working schedule of the U.S. Senate. So this is, again, I don't think a huge setback. You've got to deal with reality here. These are real people voting. And because of it, you're going to have at least another week for those who support the legislation to get to that magic number of 50. They're still about five short. They're only two guaranteed no's against this from the Republican side. So there's five people to convince before Senator McCain returns. And then, again, if you're opposed to it, you do have a week as well to run against it. But the opposition has just not been as strong to this as it has been in the past. I mean, I will tell you, remember, the last time around, this Senate bill could not even right. – you wouldn't even be having the discussion of could you get to 50 because there were so many definite no's. But remember, people like Senator Cruz are in the yes category. People like Senator Lee are right on the edge of potentially a yes vote. Senator Lee out of Utah. Really, the only two firm no's as of this moment are Senator Rand Paul and Senator Susan Collins on the very different ends of the Republican ideological spectrum. But Logan, that's where we are there. Also, our dad, our chief counsel, who's traveling today, was on all five morning shows yesterday. Defending the President of the United States. That's called the full Ginsburg. We'll explain that to
Absolutely.
You. What is the full Ginsburg? When we come back on Jay Seculo Live. Logan, tell people how to get engaged.
Phone line's already jamming up. We only have two lines available, and by the time you hear this, they may be gone, but you can give us a try. 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in on social media, facebook.com/Jay Seculo. Just look at the latest post. It's our live video. Also on Periscope and ACLJ.org, but we check a look at all the comments and take some of those during the show and during the break. And that's at facebook.com/JaySeculo or give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
We're talking healthcare. We'll talk Russia as well. We'll play clips from all of his interviews yesterday. What is the full Ginsburg? Jay Seculo completes the 33rd try at this. We'll talk to you about it. We come back on Jay Seculo Live.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We had a good comment, Logan, come in on Facebook during our break.
A couple people are asking comments about just the entire, you know, it's kind of how it works. And Susan asked, why can't he vote remotely? And then we're obviously talking about Senator McCain. And then Roberts also asked, do they have enough votes in support of this bill without him?
So, first of all, there's no remote voting.
You got to be there.
In the U.S. Senate or the U.S. House. That's something you could possibly discuss. The idea that you can't do it all the time, but in a case of an emergency where you're unable to because of medical reasons, that doesn't mean you're not unfit to hold your office. You're just recovering from a surgery,
right?
And that's Senator McCain's case, right? I mean, he's already back at home. So this broke on Saturday. He's already back at home recovering. So this is obviously a surgery where he's not in intensive care. And even if he was, that does not preclude you from keeping the office. So Congressman Scalise, who, again, a majority whip, is still hospitalized after that horrible shooting in outside Washington, D.C. in Virginia. He's been out of intensive care again. He was back in intensive care, back out. That doesn't, again, preclude him from holding that office. But the reason – so you can't remotely vote. And then second, the reason why – here it's important. You can vote without having all the senators there. You don't have to have all 100 senators there every time you vote in the House. You don't have to have all 435 House members. But in this situation, the margin depends on getting to 50 plus the Vice President Mike Pence casting the 51st vote. And John McCain, Senator McCain, is a guaranteed yes vote for this legislation as of now. And because of that, you can't risk taking the vote and then having to convince yet another person. It's not worth it for a week. And at a time when, remember, this was still much earlier, if it were to happen next week or even the following week, earlier than the Senate was predicting, because they were ready to stay through the August recess for this vote. So we'll take phone calls to that, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, I do think we should tell people, though, what our dad did yesterday. It's, again, it's not to get too inside the beltway for people, but it was the 33rd time what is called the full Ginsburg.
That's right.
In Washington circles was completed. Only 33 times since 1998. So in 20 years. Yeah,
it's only a couple times a year if you were to do an average has it even happened.
And usually it kind of peaks. It's the first time in 2017.
Yeah.
So the first time in this entire year, which we're halfway into now, first time that this has occurred. So Logan, tell people about it. Tell people what it is.
Yeah, so full Ginsburg, it was kind of coined back in the late 90s during the, not to get in details, but the Monica Lewinsky scandal. You had the lawyer for the president, is that right? No.
Lawyer for Monica Lewinsky.
Ginsburg go up there and he would do every show, every morning show on Sunday mornings. You know, you have all the Sunday morning news outlets. So we do all five and would do them all. It's very rare because it's very tough because these shows all run within an hour of each other. And a lot of times they're having to pre-record or do some different segments. It happens very rarely. And that just shows the news is so hot on whatever you're talking about that everyone has to cover it. And so we had that happen this weekend with our dad, who was on every single one of those outlets again, and hit it hard and did it over the course. I think the entire recording time was only about, what, an hour, hour and a half?
About an hour and a half.
And they ran it throughout the day. But most of the shows led with it as well. If you saw most of them, it was first up for everything. So really an interesting time here in the office on Sunday mornings. Not exactly when you expect it, but those of you guys that watch the Sunday morning news shows know how they're fairly respected. It's a little different than their 24-hour news because you are so limited in time of what they want to cover. So it's not like, oh, well, I was on, you know, whatever, CNN or Fox News every night, because that's a 24-hour news broadcast. A lot of these, other than the couple ones that run on cable, are specific to the Sunday morning shows. They have very limited 1-hour, 2-hour time slots to get all the news in that they feel like it's important for someone to see.
Yeah, it's usually one or two topics. That's it. Yeah. And this is obviously a lead topic. So I'll play that for everybody right now. Let's start off with, and we'll just pick your point. I mean, so it was ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, broadcast and cable there, and then CNN is the one cable news outlet which is included in this. It's like a marathon, because for those of you who know, obviously we do an hour long radio broadcast every day, but you know, we are, again, we're not being interrogated on the broadcast. You are, if you're a lawyer who has chosen to do this, this is almost the second time he did it. Last time he did this about a month ago, he was just missing one. It's because he had done that broadcast the week before, which was ABC. So this is really the second time he's had to go through it. And you know, by the fifth time, you got information about the first interview you did already out there in the news.
Right.
So the producers already can know what you've been asked, what you've said, how they want to, you know, go back at the question again. And again, just take a listen to yourself. This is, I think it just shows you, remember, each one of these interviews, we're going to play short clips, was bordering on 10 to 12 minutes straight, no commercial break. So take a listen.
I take you at your word that there's no illegal act there yet. But is trigger for an investigation? Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Donald Trump Jr. said he would cooperate with anybody. He made that very clear when he was on air talking about it. And again, as the lawyer, Chuck, when you have to understand this, as the lawyer, I look at what would you say, doesn't this trigger an investigation? If there's an investigation, you're looking at what law may have been violated here. And again, the meeting and what took place at the meeting, based on all the information that you just said, is not a violation of any law, statute, or code.
So there you go. That was Meet the Press, which is the longest running of the news broadcast on Sunday morning, the 70th anniversary of Meet the Press. And again, the statement there that really the one headline, and it was interesting, no one pressed. I mean, it was only Fox News and Chris Wallace who even came up with a statute to try and press on whether or not anything could be potentially illegal. Everybody else just accepts that statement. So you're having a lawyer on to say, to talk about law, and they don't really want to talk about the law. They want to talk about ethics and morals and is it right or is it wrong? But when you get into law, they didn't want to go there. And again, I think that shows the strong situation the client is in. In this case, the client, our chief counsel and our father represents, is the president of the United States, because these shows would be, they've got entire legal departments. They'd be jumping on this if they could come up with statutes and rules and legislation that was violated. They couldn't do that. Here's ABC. So you just heard NBC. Here's ABC.
The president has said over and over again this week, is he saying that the Mueller investigation is part of a witch hunt?
Yeah, look how it started, as it relates, especially as it relates to the president. But let me put this in context. How did this whole situation start? And we tend to lose this fact, and we should not. James Comey takes notes. James Comey then leaks those documents to a friend of his for the sole purpose of leaking them to the New York Times, and with the desire to be, and James Comey said this under oath, let me just finish this, John, said under oath that he hoped to get a special counsel, which he did.
So again, that was ABC. And again, we're walking through all of the interviews. This was just yesterday morning. These all run, regardless of where you live in the country, within about an hour of each other, and they are all taped within about the same hour and 15 minutes. Only one or two of these were actually 100% live in some market. So usually that's Washington, D.C. or the East Coast where they originate out of. But they're all running within the same hour wherever you live. So I think unless you recorded all of these, it's impossible to watch them all on.
Yeah, I had to DVR all of them.
And they're also all online. You can watch the entire interviews online. And here's Fox News. And remember, when we talk about Fox News here, we're not just talking about Fox News, the cable outlet, but also every Fox channel broadcast channel that has like the local news runs this as well. And then Fox News, I think, runs it multiple times during the day on Sunday on the cable outlet. Take a listen, Byte 24.
The fact is, you know that goes on in campaigns all the time. Opposition research is a big part of campaigning.
It doesn't go on with the Russians all the time, Jay.
Well, no, but look, here's what happened. First of all, nothing happened. There ended up being no exchange of information. But in and of itself, that meeting, the relevancy of the differential that you're just put forward, the fact is what took place during that meeting, even on the basis of these emails as Donald Trump Jr. laid them out, were not violations of a statute. So when you talk about Russian collusion, colluding to do what? Colluding to violate what law?
Okay, so then again, we have, this is CBS, Face the Nation. So we're at number four now. We're on number four of five. And remember, you're getting 30 seconds of 15 minutes here at a time. But here's, this is John Dickerson, the CBS Face the Nation.
Let me ask you, as somebody who knows something about national security, you've written about it. Back in June of 2016, meeting with somebody who was offered and advertised as an agent of the Russian government, wouldn't that have been something that if you were advising the campaign, you would say, Russia is an enemy of the United States. Don't take this meeting.
Well, look, I wasn't their lawyer then. I didn't represent the campaign, and I don't like to look at hindsight on how you do it. Donald Trump Jr. himself said he would do the meeting if he had to do it all over again. There are things he would do differently. So that's how you look at it. I mean, opposition research and campaigns happens all the time. You had the situation with the Ukrainians doing the same thing with the Democratic National Committee and the Clinton campaign. So, again, I don't look at any of this in a vacuum. You look at it at the time, it was in the middle of a campaign.
So, again, that was on Face the Nation, which gave a free shout out to the book Unholy Alliance, which was a New York Times bestseller.
Yes.
And, again, I think, you know, as that interview went on, it was, the president said, you keep investigating this. Keep investigating if any of my satellites were involved in anything improper here. And he's pressed Putin on this directly on the cyber interference with the elections or the attempted interference. So the idea here, again, there are two issues. One is actually being dealt with by the U.S. government. That is the issue of Russian interference. The second issue, which is why the special counsel exists, is not to figure that out. I want to make that clear. Right? The special counsel has to figure out if there were Americans involved, that specifically in the campaign world, who coordinated that, directed it. So when we come back, we will talk about the Russia issue, I know, and then we'll get back into healthcare. I know we got people holding on the line to talk about both issues. We will get to those, 1-800-684-3110. We'll get to some of your phone calls in the first half hour of this broadcast. If you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110. 3110, and Logan, people can join us online as well.
That's right. You can find us online, ACLJ.org, or broadcasting on Facebook and Periscope live, so you can find it there. Also, if you just go to the Twitter handle, Twitter at Jay Sekulow, you'll see it's one of the latest posts is a tweet that has our live video. You can watch it there. And we never go to commercials. Exclusive videos or more commentary. Be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-9-9-9. 989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
All right, so we were going through yesterday's news for us, which was the full Ginsburg. It is the doing every morning shows, every Sunday morning show is completed by our chief counsel, our father. And within, depending on how you watch it and how it's broadcast in your station, this is doing ABC, CBS, NBC, as well as Fox News, all those broadcasts. Some of those have cable outlets as well. And then CNN's State of the Union. It's only been done 33 times since 1998. So only 33 times have people gone through and done all these shows on one day, on one morning, within an hour and 15 minutes, on the same topic. And in this case, it was in his capacity as a one of the attorneys for President Trump, his outside counsels. So we didn't play Jake Tapper. We'll play that for everybody. This is the fifth and final one. But I encourage people, go back and watch these. But watch the full interviews. The clips, I mean, again, we've pointed out the clips more to demonstrate it to you today. You can kind of take 30 seconds of any interview and do what you'd like with it. But here's just a clip from that.
For all Don Jr. knew, that was coming from the FSB, the successor to the KGB. That was coming from, human intelligence or signals intelligence. He had no idea where it was coming from. It's not normal oppo. Normal oppo is legally obtained.
Well, the Ukrainian, I go back to the Ukrainian example. I know you don't want to discuss it because you say it's not being investigated, which raises a question. But here, in the Ukrainian situation, they actually exchanged documents from a foreign government.
All right, so that, again, that gave you the idea of what he did in two segments it took us to get through. We're going to take some phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. We're also hitting healthcare, delay in the vote, unexpected delay. This is not one just based off, the votes aren't there. This was, we believed on Friday, as everyone who was close to this, that this vote was likely happening this week and in the U.S. Senate, which would have then brought it back to the U.S. House and then ultimately to the president's desk. The legislation defunds Planned Parenthood, and we think is a step in the right direction. It's not everything, and I think for anybody who's claiming that, they're wrong. And for anyone trying to cast those who support this legislation saying this is the be-all, end-all, that's not correct either. But just to make clear to everyone, this has been postponed because Senator McCain had to have an emergency surgery. Sure. To remove a blood clot over one of his eyes that was discovered during his normal medical exam. He's now had that surgery. He's already back home. He said he's at least out for the week. So we know that. It's at least a week. Now, that gives people who support it and oppose it and people who have not yet decided an opportunity to continue those discussions both behind the scenes on Capitol Hill and publicly as well in the court of public opinion, if you will. So I know we got a call on Russia, and then I know we've got many calls on healthcare, but I think Russia's been holding the longest. So we start there.
Yeah, let's start with Robert in Maryland. Robert, welcome back. You're on the air.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. Hi, Logan. I wanted to ask the question. I want for you to explain to me and also to the audience what collusion is, especially in light of the latest media reports with Donald Trump Jr. and several other people have a meeting with someone over in Russia. And as Jay was asking, collusion to do what? And is collusion illegal according to statute, code, and law? When you say code, are you talking about the United States code or are you talking about the code of federal regulations?
So typically there, Robert, I mean, it's a good question. Usually that you're talking about U.S. code. You're talking about the criminal code, which is Title 18 USC, and you've got all the different criminal codes. There's some crossover. I mean, you've got the campaign finance rules and laws and regulations are in a separate federal code. Those are mostly civil. So the idea there is to violate those is more of a general sense of, intent to violate a federal law and then go into these broader statutes which would govern that. And most of the time that doesn't rise to the level of criminality. It may be civil penalties or, where you pay a fine or a campaign pays a fine. There are instances. Obviously, most of the time that involves improper donations. In fact, the only examples I can really find for you are improper donations. And I remember in New Hampshire, there was a robocall that went out illegally during an election cycle where the individual who's behind that phone call, that automated phone call that went out to people with incorrect information and intentionally did that with incorrect information and was found, that person was prosecuted as well. So there are times that becomes criminal. Make that clear to everybody. Collusion is nowhere to be found in any of these. You cannot find that word. Now, the reason why, Robert, they're using that is because of that. It sounds bad. You know, it's a word that sounds bad. It actually has a bad meaning. It means secret or illegal. So you see there, it doesn't mean illegal only.
Right.
And why do they use that term? Because they're not, they don't want to be caught off guard, like all the morning show hosts got caught off guard, with having to figure out, which is still weird to me at this point. You know, you would think if Chuck Todd or Jake Tapper or Jonathan Carl or John Dickerson or even Chris Wallace, who tried with a campaign finance regulation, could find laws that said any of this was illegal, that's what they'd be leading with the lawyer for the president. Not ideas of, is this good policy or not? Or do you think this is right or wrong? Or morally, where you stand on this issue? I mean, that's where they go when they have nothing. You know, that's where they go when they have nothing to say. But yet they're all covering it. So, I mean, that's their own issue. But here again, everybody's gone through this. It's not like anybody's hiding federal statutes from them or hiding the law from them. So, Robert, you won't find that term in the laws. You will find terms like conspiracy. And this term can include that, but it doesn't exclude things that are not criminal. So it's a broad term people get to use. It sounds bad, but is in fact nowhere to be found in the law. And that's why it's being used. It's because these individuals don't want to be put on the spot. And don't just take our word for it. Here's Alan Dershowitz, a very liberal Harvard law professor, criminal defense world. And he's been very clear about how this is never going to be a situation that is criminal when you're talking about meetings. And I think this is bite number 9.
You know, I'm shocked as a civil libertarian and a criminal lawyer and a liberal in how liberals are, some of them at least, prepared to stretch existing laws, talk about treason, talk about other kinds of crimes that just don't exist when it comes to the facts as we know them about this meeting. And so I'm going to keep insisting that we stop accusing people of crime when there's just no evidence of crime.
So again, that's coming from Alan Dershowitz, who just said in that clip, I'm a liberal. It's not that I agree with this president. It's that they don't accuse people of crimes. I've done a lot of interviews too. I mean, these ideas, when Tim Kaine called what Donald Trump Jr. did treason, that's a crime you can be executed for. You realize he's saying that the president's son should be or could be executed. Literally lose their life because of going to a meeting. If we set a standard, legal standard like that in the United States of America, what does the First Amendment mean? What does the right of free speech mean? That you could be put to death because of a meeting that you go to. That these are the highest crimes in our law. And I know we got a lot of calls on healthcare. So we come back from the break, we're going to get into that, talk more about Russia as well. But we're going to answer your healthcare calls. So stay on the line about this. I think it's very important that we walk through, again, what's happened here with the delay. It's not a delay. And as we come to a close our first half hour of the broadcast, this is not a delay because the votes aren't there. Now, the votes aren't there yet, but that's not why this was delayed. It would have likely happened this week, and at least we would have gotten, I think, a push there. That's not the case, so some of the senators who are not committed yet are going to remain uncommitted for, be able to stay in that world of trying to be wooed. There's only two certain no's, which means there's still enough votes out there, along with Vice President Pence, to get this to 51 votes and then ultimately to the president's desk. So we'll talk about that. We come back from the break. Remember, we got a second half hour coming up with Jay Sekulow.
That's right. If your station doesn't carry it or you should want a different experience, you can find us broadcasting for another half hour online, aclj.org. If you want to interact, it's a great way to do it. Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. Also on Twitter, @JaySekulow, you can see the latest post is actually our live video. If you do leave us here, you can get us archived later on the ACLJ app, available for your iPhone, your iPad, Apple TV, and you can find a channel for the ACLJ in the channel store on Roku. We do have one line open. Have your voice heard. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
All right, don't worry, everyone. We will get back to Russia in the discussion. If you haven't heard,
as all
about,
news does.
If you haven't heard about that,
we will get back to Russia at some point.
But I do want to spend some time on healthcare, and I think instead of just going through and explaining what all has transpired, I think our calls, we can do that within.
Yeah.
Some people have been holding on, so let's start with some phone calls about people that are calling in about healthcare.
Yeah, let's go to David in Arizona. David's will hold like 25 minutes. David, you're on the air on line 3.
Hey, David.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
And I appreciate your show.
Thank you.
My concern about healthcare is that there's no motivation on the part of our representatives to pass anything, to do away with Obamacare, because they've got great care already. I mean, look at Senator McCain. If he was on our health care, how quickly would he have gotten in for surgery and been first in line? I think this is a great example of how it's working for them and not working for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair, David. They get an entirely different health care system. They are not subject to... Now, this was not because of the Republicans. This is because of Democrats. And they didn't get any Republican votes. It was Democrats who voted to not be included in the Affordable Care Act. It was President Obama who signed a law that said that Democrats in Capitol Hill and their staffs, so it's not just the actual representatives themselves and their families, it's the staffs and their families, both their staffs in D.C. and their staffs back in the districts or the state, if they are in the U.S. Senate's case, not have this apply to them. And it was the Democrats who signed off on that. But I do believe that there's a bit of a disconnect because under the House version, they went back after they passed the legislation through reconciliation. Pat went back through and said, this is going to apply to us. The Senate is expected to do the same thing. So this will not, I think that they may be also a little, that may actually be good for all of us in the long run, that they are taking it a bit more seriously on our side of the political spectrum, because it's not getting any Democrat votes whatsoever, because it will be applying to them and their staffs. And they will have to be responsible for this. They will feel the direct effects of this law as individuals, right, as their families. And these are not all people who can just go out there and spend whatever kind of resources they right. want. Now, in Senator McCain's case, to be fair, Senator McCain, having a blood clot above the eye is an emergency situation. I'm not sure that anyone would be denied that kind of emergency action. He was at, obviously a higher end facility, Mayo Clinic, but that's where he got his regular checkup. And that's where they caught it. I think if this was caught, now it goes back to if you have good enough insurance where you're even having that regular physical. Mm-hmm. That's the bigger issue, is are you even going because of what your deductible is like. Let's take another call.
All right, let's do it. Let's take hold Lisa, who's in Pensacola, Florida, on line 4. Again, who's been on hold for a while.
Hey, Lisa. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello. Thanks for joining us.
And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Good. Go ahead with your comment.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering, I know that right now there are two senators that are guaranteed no votes mm-hmm. on this particular health care bill that they're trying to pass. And the one that I want to ask about is Susan Collins. I want to know why a Republican would be against something that is going to slow the growth of the federal government. I know she states that the only argument that I've seen her make online is that it's going to cut into Medicaid and Medicare. And as I understand it, it only decreases the growth of Medicaid and Medicare. But in a growing economy, the very people that the people that would be affected, their retirement should be growing, their own income, their bank accounts should be growing. And I just don't understand why a Republican would be against something.
On the ideological spectrum, I think she is now in the middle. She's the closest to the left on those who are elected. I mean, you've got Rand Paul, who's got the more libertarian viewpoint. So he's not on that part of the spectrum. But Susan Collins is not necessarily take the position that we would, Lisa, to slow the size of the federal government. It's a big tent party, the Republican Party. She's an example of that. That she is, in many states, would probably be considered very liberal. But in a state like Maine, this would still be kind of middle of the road, not seen as really, an activist. So to her credit, I don't think she's hiding where she is on these issues. This is where she's been. It's not a real surprise, though she was not for the Affordable Care Act. So I guess I asked her, what do you want to do? I mean, you want to just let this fall apart for everybody, Senator Collins? That's the fair question to ask. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks. From Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando, Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We may be joined in our last segment by our chief counsel. Our dad, Jay Sekulow, is in Washington, D.C., and in meetings, and I think maybe back to our studio there.
He's trying.
And able to join us. We'll see. I mean, that will be in the next segment of the broadcast. I know we've had people hold on healthcare.
Yep.
I think we could kind of explain where that has, what has changed in the Senate schedule. In the, really just the last 48 hours as we take the phone calls. Let's do that. And we'll talk Russia as well, folks, and we will get back to that topic as well. But we want to take your calls on this.
Yep, let's go to Anthony, who is calling in Jacksonville, Florida on line six.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Anthony.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, so I've been listening to your other callers, and I think they bring up a good point, but I actually kind of real quick want to go ahead and go back to the Obama administration.
Okay.
Republicans, election cycle after election cycle after election cycle, and completely won over the issue of getting rid of Obamacare on a complete repeal.
Yep.
Now, the problem is that the Senate is not getting rid of Obamacare. They're not even getting close to getting rid of Obamacare. But the problem is that this is not a repeal problem. This is a political will problem. So my question is that we know that the Senate is giving us a crap sandwich.
Well, I disagree with you, Anthony. And I'll say this: they could put forward, Anthony, a repeal bill. Okay, I mean, this is just honest politics. That's how we talk about it here on this show. Okay, we don't just give you ideological talking points. They actually put this up. Guess what? Doesn't get to the 60-vote threshold, so there's no vote. Okay, the Democrats filibuster it. And that's exactly what we can expect. They don't have to rely on there's no way this gets past the 60-vote threshold, and they go for a vote on this. So even though the margins, the Republicans, the majority in the Senate, they don't have a supermajority. They have a razor-thin majority, which allows them on reconciliation, Anthony, which means you don't get everything you want. I'll go for you that far. You don't get everything you want. But it allows you to do a lot legislatively without having to go through that 60-vote threshold. You get around the filibuster. And that is the issue, is that right now, that's great. You know, you want to outright repeal and just have that vote. It won't make it to the floor of the United States Senate. And that's a real issue. And again, we just talked to you about the facts. It would be fine in the House. I think it would make its way fine, but not the U.S. Senate.
Yeah. If you want to call in, by the way, we just went through most of our calls.
Yep.
And we, as you know, we like to take calls throughout the whole show. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. This is a really good time to call because we just sort of went through everybody. So, Jamie, you're still on hold, but lines are open. So give us a call.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. I want to get back to the Russia issue because fairly, though many of the hosts, they push back when you bring this up because it's not being investigated the same way. Listen, it's not being investigated the same way because Democrats haven't – they didn't win the presidential election. Hillary Clinton lost handedly. They can't win the special election, so the DNC is not going to get as much attention right now as Republican operations when it comes to trying to pin why they lost. I mean, you don't go through the why you won. I mean, you win because you win. But they, again, this is a lot of the blame game, and it's why the witch hunt term has been used. But Jonathan Carl asked Congressman Adam Schiff, he's the ranking Democrat of the House Intel Committee, about the Ukrainian situation, bite number four.
Would it have been acceptable for the Democrats to accept help from the Ukrainian government in this campaign?
No, it would be appropriate for the Democrats to accept help from the Ukrainian government. But I think if you look at the Politico article, and we're talking about just a single article here, if you accept all the facts in the article, the scale of what the Russians did is not comparable to anything in that article.
Except for this, Andy. Now, I mean, he was fair. That he did say it's wrong. And I think if you're going to have his position, this is... No, wrong is not illegal. There's differences there. But he's conflating what the Democrats, he's saying, take it at its word, that there was at least one instance where the DNC, who was paying someone to get opposition research from a foreign government and used it, got it, you know, actually received it, that's not comparable to what the Russians did. Not the Russians with the Trump campaign, notice. He was careful enough there not to try and conflate necessarily the Trump campaign with Russia. So he's talking about two different things.
Yeah, obviously it is two different things, and they're very distinct things. I get back to this idea, however, of this meeting that took place and the seven or eight people who were there. And what exactly is the crime? I really want to know what the crime is here. You know, we hear about collusion and we hear about Mueller making an investigation into the collusion of the Trump campaign with the Russians with respect to the election and so forth. But I still come back with there is nothing that was any evidence that anything was of monetary value of anything that was exchanged, which might be a crime. But in all the talk that we have heard, I haven't heard 330 million Americans in this country, if that's what the number is, tell me yet what the crime that was committed or that's being investigated is. I want to know what the crime is. That's what we're all about here. Not collusion. Collusion, as you mentioned earlier, is not a crime. Conspiracy to commit a violation of a statutory law is a crime. Tell me what the law was that was conspired to be committed if you can't tell me what the crime was. But I don't understand what collusion means in terms of whether it's a criminal offense against the laws of the United States. I wish we'd get this over with.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, this is where it really comes down to. If you go back and watch any of these interviews that were done yesterday, when pressed on the law, none of them. Only Chris Wallace even came back with the idea of a statute. Now, a statute where you'd be criminalizing speech from the civil code, the campaign finance regulations, which, again, come to foreign contributions, has a term in there about things of value. If you started calling things of value speech and showing up at meetings, which, by the way, the Supreme Court, the courts are never going to do. And they're not going to do that because of our First Amendment, which trumps these statutes. If prosecutors try to expand the statute to apply to something like speech and meetings, and whether that's documents, you know, text, speech that's on a piece of paper or speech that you're having across the table with someone, that has never been criminalized in the United States successfully. And the courts have not allowed that to move forward. Lori, let's take some phone calls to healthcare as well. 1-800-684-3110.
Yep, let's go to Jamie in Texas on line one. Jamie, you're on the air, and again, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. But Jamie, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, thank you, Alan. Thank you for all you do. Pray for your guidance every day.
Thank you.
The deal with McConnell now, he says he's voting on McCain, so after McCain says he's not going to give the vote, what's McConnell going to say then?
Well, I think here's the situation. It's not because John McCain is not saying he's going to vote for this. It is because John McCain had to have emergency surgery, which has taken him out for at least a week from Washington, D.C. So I don't think anything happening behind the scenes here that was somehow planned to delay this vote. It was, again, I mean, Senator McCain had to have emergency surgery to remove a blood clot above his eye. Fairly serious surgery. He's back at home recovering, and his Senate office has said he will return. He can't return this week. He has to recover in Arizona. They said next week. That was when the news broke about it. That means this week. And it could go longer. Guess what? They've already said, including Senate Majority Leader McConnell, I will give him this credit. He's already said we'll stay through August if we have to. Right. We're only halfway through July. So I don't think there'd be don't need to get into conspiracies about this. This is just where things stand as of right now.
All right, continuing on. Again, a lot of calls are coming in, but you can be a part of the show too. 1-800-684-3110. And I think Pam has a comment that a lot of people have asked. Pam in Pennsylvania is on line 5.
Yes. Do you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air. Quickly.
Thank you for all that you do. And my question is, what can we, the people, do to encourage Rand Paul to vote yes for this? We respect him, but just disagree with what he's doing. He's hurting the party. He's hurting the process that we want to see happen.
Well, I think our chief counsel is joining us in Washington, D.C. Dan,
yeah,
is there. I think that of all the folks, I mean, listen, he's been the only on the conservative side. You have Senator Collins, Dan, on the more moderate side, but then it's just Senator Paul who is taking right. this absolutely no position. And I don't know if worth spending the time there or not when you've got about five or six right. senators who are right on the edge.
Well, it's the difference. I heard what you'd said. I was in the car and I heard what you said about the situation as it relates to Senator Collins. So this is different, but here's the situation with Senator Paul. It's exactly what, Jordan, you just said, and that is it worth the effort to try to sway him over when, in fact, there's five or six others that need to be gotten in order for this vote to go forward? I just left a series of meetings, though, and we discussed this issue, actually, and I will tell you that it is – I think we're moving there. I mean, the situation with Senator McCain is very unfortunate, but if he's back for a vote next week, I think we're going to get there. But it's going to take the American people and people that are listening to this broadcast. If you want to see phase one of this repeal take place, this is the time for your voice to be heard.
All right, folks, we have another segment coming up. We'll take more of your phone calls, and we've got some lines open because we're taking a lot of calls throughout the show. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. 3110. If you want to talk to us on air, this is a great time to join. We're talking healthcare, but we're also getting into the Russia issue.
Yep.
So you can call about both of those topics, and in the final segment, we'll mix in both together at 1-800-684-3110. We also got comments coming in through Facebook and Periscope as well.
That's right. Get your comments in, but give us a call. This is the time. If you're watching online, this is the time you want to hear your voice on Facebook, this is the time to do it. 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard. This is the time to get your voice heard on the air today. We'll be right back in the last segment of Jay Sekulow Live. I think we may have another video, too, coming up in the break if you're watching.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-9-9-9. 989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air, talking to healthcare, to Russia as well. Our chief counsel joins and our dad from Washington, D.C., and our studio there, which we are updating the studio, but we've still got our radio connection there. So for those of you listening to the broadcast, no difference. For those of you watching, we will be back with the live video in Washington, D.C., and it'll kind of look like where we are with the same kind of look and feel. And so we're updating the studio there, and appreciate your patience with that, but we get the connection just as good. We could take phone calls to kind of set this up, 1-800-684-3110.
Yep.
And then get into both the issues of the healthcare vote. Yep. And
people are calling
Russia
about everything. Let's go to Donald in South Carolina on line one. Donald.
Hello, this is Don. We really appreciate all you guys do. You are a great source of information, and thank you for doing what you do. And I just contributed online a week or
appreciate
so ago,
it.
And yes, sir. I'm just mystified. I'm mystified by the fact that we have the Rand Pauls and the Collins and others that state that they're not going to support the GOP bill. And I'm just wondering, Jay and team, I got two questions. Why can't we use some leverage against these people that are on the fence and saying they're not going to vote for it, to leverage the petitions of us that would be glad to sign it, to say that we're not satisfied that they're not going to vote for this bill? And then the second question I have is, why don't we have the Rand Pauls and the Lindsey Grahams and the Collins that have all these great ideas about a health care plan? Why aren't they crafting the plan so that when the plan comes together,
right,
they won't criticize it? So why aren't we using that process?
Yeah, so you raised two good questions. First of all, let me tell you this. As soon as we're done on radio, I'm meeting with our government affairs team here to discuss exactly that. I mean, we've had hundreds of thousands of you sign a petition on maybe 300,000 on this issue. So that process is ongoing here. But we are really, I think it's fair to say, Jordan, we are at crunch time here.
Yeah, I mean, we know of the two, I think the no. So you got Susan Collins, who's on one end of the ideological spectrum of the Republican Party. Rand Paul was on the very far end of the other ideological spectrum. It's a big tent party. It's not like the Democrat Party, where kind of everyone is within the same, 99 percentile on most issues. And so in this situation, we've got, so you got those two no's. So they're going out there on every TV show and saying, I'm absolutely no, I'm absolutely no. Okay. But you've got people who have not yet committed. And I think that's where the focus should be this week. And that is people like Senator Heller. That is people like in West Virginia, Senator Capito, and in the case of, you brought up Senator Graham. He has offered amendments, but I don't think he said he would not vote for what's currently being proposed.
I think he's going to vote for the bill. Yep, I think he's voting for the bill. Hey, can I ask something on, I know Andy was talking about the Russia situation, and I was on all five of the Sunday morning shows yesterday. But, Andy, as you and I have talked about this, and I've talked about it more since I've been up here, the fascinating aspect of this is, and then we'll get right back to calls, Logan. The fascinating aspect is no one still is pointing to a statute that's been violated here or could be violated on this scenario that we have.
That's right.
No one.
That's right. I've been waiting for that. I've been waiting a long time for that. I'd like to know what the law is. I'm a former federal prosecutor and a state prosecutor, and I prosecute statutes and violations of laws. I don't prosecute the crime of collusion. I've never heard of collusion, and I'm still waiting to find out what the law is that has been violated and what the law is that Mr. Mueller and his team of 17 or 21 lawyers are investigating. I've got to have a statute. I've got to have a law. I can't prosecute phantoms.
Yep, absolutely. A lot of calls are coming in. A lot of comments also are coming in. This is an interesting one. Maybe we can cover real quick. Frankie asks, can you give us a good reason why we need a government involved in healthcare to begin with?
Well, government is involved in healthcare, and they're involved in it so much right now that it's destroying the healthcare system. So this is a way to turn it back to the states, which is a better way for this to go. And as Jordan has said repeatedly on the broadcast, this is phase one of what's probably three or four phases. Now, there's been a little bit of modifications, even a pre-phase one, I would call, and that is Secretary Price has been able to do some things administratively through executive orders and through regulatory changes. But this is phase one of the law change, and they'll return it to the states, which is where it needs to be.
All right, let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to Gloria, who's calling in New Mexico. You're on the air.
Hi, folks. Listen, many of us are really wondering if General Sessions is over his head, if he's being bribed, intimidated, he's lost his zeal, he's too meticulous, because he's been in there for 5 years, no draining of the swamp. And
you're talking about five months. Which we all said, to drain a swamp is going to take more than one term as president. I mean, it would take basically the full 8 years. We're talking about tens of thousands of people. I mean, in some cases, the State Department, I think we're talking about 70,000 plus bureaucrats all stationed around the world, most of which who are opposed to a conservative ideology, whether you are President Trump or President, insert that name, if they are a conservative at all on the ideological spectrum. And so you're not going to clear that up in a matter of months. And the Department of Justice is another one of those departments, agencies, which has been was heavily politicized by the Obama administration, which took those 8 years they had to turn to weaponize the Department of Justice, if you will, into a political entity where the bureaucrats and the political appointees, there was hard to tell the difference between them. Well, all those bureaucrats are still there. The way that the laws have been written, very difficult to get rid of them, Dad. So, I mean, it may feel like 5 years sometimes, but it's 5 months.
Yeah, well, five years here feels like 20, so 5 months probably feels like 5 years. But I did notice an interesting comment that someone came in about our friend and colleague, senior counsel, and Dr. Andrew Economo. And that is, it said, reminded them of Matlock in a positive way. And since Matlock was played by Andy Griffith, one of Andy's favorites, that should be a real compliment. Yeah. I just wanted to throw that out. Pam pointed that out to me on the comments, and I just did see it actually as well. So there you go. I just want to be on the record.
Well, I appreciate the comparison, yeah. Jay. As a matter of fact, when I was practicing law in Atlanta, I occupied the actual building, the Hurt Building, which was used for the filming of several scenes in Matlock. And one of the lawyers who was modeled after Matlock was the legendary Georgia lawyer Bobby Lee Cook from Somerville, Georgia. So I'm glad to hear that, the analogy.
All right, let's take the last call probably of the day. We'll try to get to two, probably just one. Let's go to Sue, who's calling in Salem, Oregon. You're on the Airline One.
Hey, guys. Thank you for all you do. My question is regarding the Medicare changes. I'm hearing that the premiums are going up, deductibles are going up, and pre-existing conditions will be an issue. Do you have any information on that for me?
Are you talking about if nothing is done? I mean, there's the one issue where all of the rates have gone up. Some places, I mean, they're predicting 100% increases, 150% increases if nothing is done. So that's the kind of if nothing is done. Now, I think that there will be a lot of scare tactics. There already are a lot of scare tactics used on this. When it comes to Medicaid, for instance, the CBO, the way it scores it, this is how Washington works. If you don't increase the funding, it's considered a decrease. Okay, so understand, if you maintain the funding level, you're not taking any out, Washington considers that a cut. Just a year later, even. I mean, so, Dad, a lot of this scare tactics, the pre-existing conditions are covered. In this legislation, they have even put aside $180 billion to help with that situation. And we're talking about pre-existing conditions, folks, who don't get health care from an employer or through a government program because of their age or income level.
All right. I think that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you guys for calling, and thank you for commenting. And a lot of calls in today. We appreciate all those comments that we didn't get to. That a lot of them, all of them, are read by someone on our social media team, so your voice is heard. And thank you so much for being a part of the show. If you want to replay this or get in touch with us tomorrow, have a different experience, find us on all social media outlets. Follow Jordan, myself, at Jay Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow. You can also find us broadcasting each and every day on Facebook and Periscope and Twitter. And you can find the ACLJ app available in the App Store for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV. Also the channel in the Roku Store and the Jay Sekulow podcast on iTunes. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.